Please turn in your Bibles this evening to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. We read earlier from verse 11. And many of the verses here in this portion will no doubt be familiar to you, especially perhaps verse 22, where God extends his gracious invitation of salvation to the ends of the earth, declaring, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." The just God and the Saviour offers to sinners in all nations everlasting salvation upon their looking to Jesus Christ alone through faith and owning him as their Saviour and their God. It is indeed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then in verse 23, God confirms this invitation with an oath. He swears by himself, and in doing so, he can swear by nothing greater. He is the God who cannot lie, and in binding himself in this way, he is establishing to us and confirming us in the weakness of our faith that what he says is absolutely true. He says, "I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. I have spoken. I will not renege on this promise that I am making." Well, what is it? "That unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear." The oath of God is that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Now we read these words in the context of the offer of the gospel that we preach. And as we meditate upon them this evening, we're going to draw lessons for our own relationship to the gospel. Have we or have we not responded to it and submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ? And our text will direct us what we are to do upon hearing the gospel of Christ. But then, having received it and living as Christians in the world, there's also going to be much encouragement to us as we serve the Lord in the gospel. Because this text tells us of the certainty of sinners submitting to Christ. And we want to take that as our theme with God's help this evening. The certainty of sinners submitting to Christ. The first thing that we want to do is to establish for you this evening that sinners must submit in particular to Christ. Sinners must submit to Christ. Our text says that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. The question for us here is, who is the me of this text? Who is it sinners are bowing to and swearing to? Well, if you look back to verse 21, you'll see that it is the Lord Jehovah, the one who is a just God and a Saviour. "Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me." It is the Lord Jehovah, the everlasting God of the eternal covenant of grace, the one who is triune, the God of heaven and the God of earth, the just God and the Saviour. He is the one who then says in verse 22, "Look unto me and be ye saved." Who again says in verse 23, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue swear. So it is the Lord. But for a more particular identification, turn please to Romans chapter 14 and verse 10 to verse 12, where Paul takes up this verse and he uses it very clearly in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 14, verse 10 to verse 12. "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now here Paul quotes from Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23. Unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. But he relates it to Christ. He says this is when everyone is going to come before the judgment seat of Christ. So who then does our text refer to? Jehovah, God of heaven and earth, the triune God of eternity, but more particularly, Jehovah Jesus. Every knee is going to bow before Jehovah Jesus. Every tongue is going to swear unto Jehovah Jesus. Now, why is that? Well, to answer that, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, where we're told not only that this will occur, but Paul sets out precisely why it is that every knee is going to bow before Jesus and every tongue is going to swear to him. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 5 and the verses following. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Or we might say in context here, Jesus Christ is Jehovah, to the glory of God the Father. So all men are going to bow to Jesus. They must submit to him. The question is why? And Paul says, because of his humiliation. And then he takes us further and he says, not only because of his humiliation, but because of his exaltation. Because the Father has exalted the Son in that he completed the work that the Father gave him to do, humbling himself, taking upon himself the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even to that ignominious and despicable and horrific death of the cross. For this cause, God hath highly exalted him. And every knee is going to bow before him. Allow me to make that practical for you this evening. Men should submit to Jesus for the same reason that the Father exalted him. Because he humbled himself. Sinners ought to humble themselves. Because he humbled himself to come to this earth, to take our humanity, to live under the law, to endure the curse of God, to obey that law on our behalf, knowing that at the end of his life he would pay the penalty for our sin, bearing the wrath of God in body and in soul. Because he did all this for sinners, sinners ought to submit themselves to Christ. Because he became the servant king, sinners must bow to him. Think about Christ in the manger. see him in the arms of his mother, and see in him the creator of heaven and earth becoming a creature, the Son of Man. And see that child who, when men recognized and understood who he was, they came with to him bearing their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And when his mother carried him in to the temple to offer the gifts according to the law, and Simeon, who waited for the consolation of Israel, saw the child, he took the child up in his arms and he humbled himself. This babe in his arms, he humbles himself before the servant king of heaven and earth. Now hath mine eyes seen thy salvation, the light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. See him as a man in his 30s, upon the eve of his death, kneeling down with a basin and taking the shoes of his disciples and washing their feet as a servant. Indeed, the servant did not even have to do this in Israel. He wasn't required to wash the feet of his master. And Jesus, the servant king, says, if I do not this, you have no part in me. King of glory at the feet of sinners, washing their feet. See him on the cross, the light of life, dying for the sins of the world. And hear the benediction of the Father, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And for this cause, I have highly exalted him, because he humbled himself in order to redeem sinners from their sins. And I'm saying to you this evening, because he humbled himself and the Father exalted him, for the same reason, he humbled himself, we ought to exalt him in our hearts. But then there's another reason that we must bow to Christ. Not only should we submit to him for the same reason that the Father exalted him, his humiliation, but we should submit to him because the Father hath exalted him. Our Lord Jesus' humiliation has come to an end. And because he humbled himself, God has highly exalted him, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he has set the Son of Man upon the throne of the universe and placed the government of all upon his shoulders, giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess. Why? Not now because he is the servant king who came in his humiliation, but because he is the supreme king, King of kings and Lord of lords, with an absolute right to the devotion of every person in heaven and in earth. He is worthy of it. He has an absolute right and dominion. We understand this in natural terms. In our own country, there are those who have authority over us, and we give them their place. If we go before the prince or the king or the queen, we reverence them, we bow before them. And they have bought a tiny little fraction of authority given to them for a time in this world. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow. Their kingdoms dissolve after them. And here is Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. All authority in heaven and in earth. How then can we bow before these temporal kings and reverence them in life? and we will not bow before him whom the Father has exalted far above all. Jehovah Jesus. But you see, our text tells us that sinners must submit to Christ. God hath sworn it. Unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Secondly, we've seen that sinners must submit to Christ. But secondly, sinners will submit to Christ in time. Now our text takes us ultimately to the last day and the final judgment. But it's wrong for us to simply limit the text to the last day, because this is a statement that the Lord has given, an oath that he has confirmed his gospel with, and we must understand it as it stands in relation to verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Now here's God's gracious invitation of salvation to the ends of the earth, encompassing not only Jew but Gentile. It's important then that we read it in its context and try to imagine that we are the original hearer. Those that Isaiah is writing to, we're Jews, we're steeped in Jewish cultures, we have Jewish prejudices, we're quite parochial as a people, we don't mix with outsiders. Indeed, we perceive them to be the enemies, and we have all kinds of derogatory terms for them, like dogs. Salvation for the Jew, yes, they might rejoice in that. But salvation to the ends of the earth? That was something that the Jew prejudicially stumbled at. Is it any wonder then that the Lord comes and confirms this truth with an oath? Salvation to the ends of the earth? Are you serious, Lord? 100% serious. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. So what we need to do this evening is put the offer and the oath together. And what do we get? Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. I swear that unto me every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Well then, this evening I press upon you that this is happening, and this is going to happen as the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached. Listen to Matthew Henry. He says, Christ shall be universally submitted to, and the kingdoms of this world shall become his kingdom. He will universally be sought after, and application will be made to him from all parts of the world. Now Matthew Henry had a very optimistic outlook for the progress of the gospel. But one who perhaps was not so optimistic, so post-millennial, we might say, is John Calvin. And yet when you read Calvin's commentary on Isaiah 45, he's at pains to emphasize that the main application of this text, though ultimately it takes us to the last day, he presses it upon us as the main application, that all the Gentiles shall be suppliants unto God. That as the gospel is preached throughout the New Testament age, knees are going to bow, tongues are going to swear unto Jehovah Jesus. Sinners will submit to Christ in time. What will they do? Well, according to our text, they're going to bow to him, as they should do. They're going to offer their submission. They're going to pay their homage to him as the Prince of the Kings of the earth. They're going to submit to him as their only hope of salvation, laying down all of their weapons of rebellion. They're going to bow before the Lord Christ in repentance, and they're going to give themselves up to Jesus. They're going to do this when the gospel is preached. For to bow to Christ, says Calvin, is when the doctrine of Christ is obeyed, when the preaching of the cross is accepted by sinners. They bow to him. In that gospel, he presses his claims. I am Lord. In the gospel, he offers his terms. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. They're sweet terms. Come and take of the water of life freely. Come and take the whole of this salvation. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come unto me and I will in no wise cast you out. He offers these terms, these sweet terms, these merciful terms to sinners. And understanding his sovereign claims and recognizing the sweet, merciful terms that he holds out to us in the gospel, sinners bow before him and accept him as he offers himself to us in the gospel. They submit themselves to Christ. Not only do they bow to him, they also swear to him. Unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Now this word swear refers to an oath of allegiance. Boys, if you had grown up in the Roman Empire and you joined the army, you would have sworn a sacramentum, an oath of allegiance unto your general. And that oath of allegiance would have changed your status as a citizen in the Roman Empire. From that moment on, you were bound utterly in loyalty unto your general to fight with him unto the death or until he discharged you from your oath. That's the kind of thing that the Lord means when he says, unto me, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to swear to God. Sinners are going to accept my terms of mercy. They're going to enlist in a life of Christian discipleship in which they yield themselves absolutely, totally, and in loyalty to me as king. They're going to come saying, I was a sinner, living for myself. But now, Lord, I receive your salvation and I am yours. Body and soul, mind and will and affections, everything I am, all that I own. Lord, I am yours. Here I am, Lord, not much, but a sinner. But a sinner yielded in loyalty at the feet of Christ. Friends, I want you to see this evening that this is certain. This is absolutely certain. That sinners are going to submit to Jesus in time. That men are going to be saved and added to the church. And all of the nations of this earth are going to serve Jehovah Jesus. The African is going to come to Christ and say to him, Lord Jesus Christ, I am yours. The Asian is going to come to the feet of Jesus of Nazareth and he's going to swear that oath of allegiance. The man in the jungle in South America, though he knows so little, will know enough to say, Lord, I am yours, you are my king and savior forever. It is certain. how privileged we are to stand on the other side of this promise and of the cross, and 2,000 years of the history of the proclamation of a risen Saviour, and to have seen multitudes of sinners bowing to Christ. To have experienced the gospel come to us. To have read of history where the gospel has gone out from us. And is yet going out. Friends, we ought to read church history. And it will continue to confirm this oath unto us. The Lord has sworn by himself. The word has gone out of his mouth in righteousness. And it will not return. Sinners are going to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is going to continue. He is not going to renege on his promise. But from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, his name is going to be great among the Gentiles. And the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. To establish this further and to confirm it in your minds, please turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22, which takes us through the humiliation of Christ in a way that no other portion of Scripture does. We see him in the agony of soul as he hangs upon a cross to accomplish our redemption. But for this cause, you remember, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. To what effect? That knees are going to bow. That tongues are going to swear. So on the back of this deep humiliation, this psalm of suffering, we come to the end, verse 27. All ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come, and they shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Done what? Cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Went through the agony of a hell upon the cross, pouring out his soul unto God. The strong bulls of Bashan compassing him about, thirsting for our redemption. Pierced in hand and in feet. All the ends of the earth are going to hear he's done it. And they're going to bow. And they're going to submit to the one that the Lord has placed the government upon his shoulders. This is absolutely certain. What you need to be certain of this evening is, have you come to Christ upon these terms? Have you recognized his claims over you as Lord and Christ? Have you really faced up to your need of salvation and understood the imperative of coming to him alone for that redemption? And have you bowed the knee to Jesus, saying, Lord, I am yours, and taken that oath of loyalty and allegiance to the Son of David? It's certain sinners will come. But are you certain you've come? That question gains greater significance when we move to consider our third point this evening. All will submit to Christ at last. Not only will sinners submit to Christ in time, but all will submit to Christ at last. You see, what the prophet predicts here has a universal impact in the nations of the earth. But we ought not to confuse this with universalism, which teaches that everyone will ultimately be saved. It's true, the Lord swears by an oath that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But when we interpret this text of Scripture in the light of the rest of Scripture, we must recognize that while all bow, all do not bow willingly to Christ. And ultimately, these words take us to the last day and the judgment seat of the Lord. So as the gospel is preached throughout the New Testament period, men are submitting, but at the same time, there are always going to be rebels. Even at the very high point of gospel success and prevailing in the world, there are those who will not submit. They won't bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ willingly in life, but they will submit unwillingly upon their death and at the last judgment. Again, this is absolutely certain. The Lord wants us to be sure of it. He's confirming it by an oath. And so it's not really a question of if men are going to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more a question of when they're going to submit and how they're going to submit to Christ. Remember, we read in Philippians chapter 2 of the humiliation and exaltation of Jesus. Let's just remind ourselves what it says there in verse 10 and 11. Paul says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, there are different interpretations of what these words mean, of things in heaven and of things in earth and of things under the earth. But I'll tell you what I believe they mean. Things in heaven are those who have died and already gone to be with Christ, having trusted him in the world. At the last day, they are going to be found among those who bow the knee and confess Jesus to be Lord. Those in earth are those who are alive and remain at the coming of Christ. Both those who are saved, Christians, and those who are not saved, the non-Christians. Who are those under the earth? Well, I believe those who are under the earth are those who have died and are buried and have died without Christ. They too are going to be raised to bow before Christ and confess him to be Lord. In very simple terms, what that means for you this evening is you're going to be there. And I'm going to be there. And the judgment seat of Christ being erected, every one of us is going to give an account of ourselves before God. Romans chapter 14. Of the things that we have done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Especially this, children. What have I done with Jesus? That's the biggest question you're going to have to answer in life or in death. What have I done with Jesus? On that day, the saved are going to gladly bow because they want to. That's where you want to be, Christian, isn't it? You want to be at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? But the lost are going to bow in slavish fear because they have to, not because they want to, because they have to. They can do nothing else. They may have remorse for a life wasted in sin, understanding the penalty of that sin to all eternity and the punishment that they must endure. They might regret, they might have remorse with respect to that, but they have no repentance, nor do they have any reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ. But their faith is in the dust. Stiff necks on that day are going to be broken. Unbendable knees are going to bend. Tongues that were tied up so as never to give a word of honor to Jesus Christ in life, but employed proudly in the blaspheming of his name. Those who say, our lips are ours, who's Lord over us? On that day, those tongues will be loosed to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. They're going to be compelled. Christopher Hitchens wrote a book in his vehemence against God and religion, a book entitled God Is Not Great. Perhaps a play on that Muslim expression, God is great, Allah Akbar, but for Hitchens it's any religion. He makes a mockery of it all. So he takes up his pen and he writes his book and he gives his speeches. And he debates Christians and he says some very provocative and disgraceful things about the Lord Jesus Christ and the word of truth. God is not great. Well, you know, on that day, people like Christopher Hitchens, people like Richard Dawkins are going to have their feet or their face in the dust. And they're going to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. There's no atheists on this day. Those who say there is no God now will feel the vain futility of everything that they give their life to defend that position. There is no God. They're at the feet of Jehovah Jesus. Can I say again to you this evening that this is certain? And if you're not a Christian, because it is certain, you need to come to this confession now. It's not a question of if, it's a question of how and when. You need to come to this same confession now with a heart humbled before God, submitting to his Son as your only hope of salvation. You need to say within your heart now, Jesus Christ is Lord, believing upon him. Confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead and that he is worthy of all of your devotion and service. Would you come to Christ like that this evening? Jesus, you're my Lord. If we are Christians, this same certainty ought to greatly encourage our hearts. Because this message he has given us, the commission to preach, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, he confirms with an oath. Unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear.
As that message goes forth, he will accomplish it, or he will accompany it, to bring his people unto himself in all nations. What a joy, what confidence we have in preaching the gospel. But on the other hand, all of the proud opposition of men who rail against the gospel, the culture that we live in, which is so hostile to the truth, and we feel oppressed in that culture, made out to be lunatics for believing in Jesus. Don't despair. God is going to put down all proud lips and all flattering tongues. And our Lord Jesus Christ is going to get glory. It's certain. He will be the salvation of the ends of the earth to all who bow to him, or else he will be their sovereign judge forever. And when we as saints hear that, we rejoice. I close with an illustration. Something from the Old Testament, children, which illustrates the response of our hearts to this message this evening. You remember David was held out in the cave. Saul was hunting him for his life. And a group of men came to him, and he wanted to know, were they for him or were they against him? And so he challenged them. We need to know who you're loyal to. And the Spirit came on one called Amasai, and he said, "Thine we are, David, O son of Jesse. We are for thee." But you see, that's the response that we have to make to this message this evening. Are you for him or are you against him? In the light of everything that you've heard, "Thine we are, thy son of David, and on thy side, we are for you, Lord. We bow at your feet. We swear by your name."